Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Blue Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forest Hill, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Evan Lionheart of readingsbyevan.com from New Jersey. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman of Conjurman Consulting in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest, Ms. Mike Hale of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, bringing us today's topic of doll babies to dominate and curse. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment. First, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man. Ms. Kat?
Hi, thank you, Evan. We're gonna wind you up a little faster next time. We're gonna just keep winding you slowly. Slowly we're gonna wind you up.
You got it.
Well, thing is, every precious second taken on that introduction is a precious second not spent sharing spells with our wonderful audience. All right. Well, just to catch you up on what's going on here, I've been working very hard, as always. I guess I'm just a hard worker. And I've been working this week on the Mystic Tea Room and signing books and goofer dust. What a combination, huh? Probably the most interesting thing that happened to me this week, just kind of off the charts, was I was on Hoodoo Psychics on Saturday, and I got 5 calls, and every one of them was from an Aquarius. And, you know, after the third one, you just kind of go, okay, got that. All right, check, 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 double check. What? I have my moon in Aquarius. That's all I could think of. It was getting on the full moon, but the full moon wasn't in Aquarius. Full moon was a Scorpio Taurus thing, but Aquarius is right square to it, and my moon was out there. I'm just like, All right. They all woke up, and they woke up in the morning, and they said, we must call Miss Cat right now. It was very interesting. All the subject matter was not all the same, just the fact that they were all Aquariuses. So that was very odd. I guess all I have to say is that synchronicity is still afoot. As for the Mystic Tea Room, if you all are friends of me on Facebook, and that would be facebook.com/Catherine Ironwood, and look for me in a green dress, you will get updates on the Mystic Tea Room, which is becoming quite the project. I'm getting so much help from all my friends and fans and followers and colleagues and cohorts, and it's just been a wonderful journey to upgrade the Mystic Tea Room and adding new tea room information. Today was a big upgrade to the Mystic Tea Room history page, where we get to learn about the suffragettes and the fight for women's right to vote, and then, of course, the fabulous sugar cubes, private labeled wrapped, paper wrapped sugar cubes advertising tea rooms and tea room pickles and many, many other things. So if you like to follow me down the rabbit holes of my mind, of which there are many, the Mystic Tea Room will be a rabbit hole enduring, I'd say, for a couple more, 3-4 months. It'll probably be maybe 6 months, and then that rabbit hole will be explored and we'll go on to a new rabbit hole. But I know there are people who think I'm a little nutty, but that's just the way I am. So that's what's new here at Catherine Ironwood. Lucky Mojo, they're marching on. They're making wonderful products, and we're shipping things out. We're not so far behind on shipping as we were before the festival. And everything at Lucky Mojo is cooking along really good, which is why I was making goofer dust, because, you know, got to keep my hand in on that. And the goofer dust is somewhat, for some reason, highly in demand of late. I hope you all get your vote in if you haven't done it already. I hope they don't destroy any more votes. It doesn't look good. They're destroying votes, ballots right and left, like a frickin' third world country. Which brings me to you, Countryman Ollie. How are things in your world?
Things are great. Before I give an announcement, you know, update of what's going on new in my world, I just wanted to say, so I was reading recently about a bunch of articles that were talking about COVID-19, and they've now come to the conclusion that there is a potential that people who are recovering from COVID-19, that in the severe cases, it has actually left brain damage, that we're looking now at the brain being aged 10 years roughly is the estimate here, while the people who have recovered have a higher percentage of dying from heart attacks. Now, anyone who has followed this radio show knows that Kat called this almost 10 months ago. Literally 10 months ago, she said, this thing is not just a respiratory thing. It's going to affect the brain, it's going to affect the heart, and it's going to affect the blood. And the science is just catching up. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a you know, pat on the back for that. Was it, that was on the point prediction there, that the science is just catching up months and months later, that this thing is so wicked. It's something completely we haven't even, like, we're just touching the iceberg. I mean, brain damage. You know, no one could have guessed that, but you called it 10 months in advance on that. So this is, it's definitely wild.
You know, thank you, Ollie. I want to say one other thing too. We were talking about some of the blood effects, and I've been talking about COVID toes and COVID toes. I just saw an article that just went by that people still have COVID toes, which is this blood leakage in the toes. You know, looks like bruised toes, but it's just, you know, they what they're calling the long haulers. These are the people who don't recover fully. They have COVID toes months after they are testing a PCR negative. Months.
Yeah, we.
So these are permanent damages.
This thing
is so bizarre. I'm still not going out. But and another thing I'm going to say, I'm still not going out. And one reason I'm working on the Mystic Tea Room is I really do like to go out and have a nice cup of tea at a pretty tea room, and maybe a nice little trout salad or something fancy, you know. And haven't done that since the end of February. So I'm obviously involved in scanning and uploading pictures of 1910 tea rooms for some vicarious thrill, I guess.
No, I sympathize with that. It's one of those things where you try to find your excitement elsewhere while being safe, because it's one of those bizarre moments.
I realized if I was a millionaire, even if I was a $100,000, but let's say I was a millionaire, I would hire one of those fabulous professional colorizers to take all of what are called RPPC, or real photo postcards, which are actually photographs on photographic paper that's thick enough to make a postcard. And these RPPC postcards are very rare because they had to be handmade one by one. They were not printed. And I would hire somebody to colorize every RPPC postcard of a tea room in my collection, and people would, their jaws would just drop. That's all I can say. But I'm not not a multimillionaire or a billionaire. Send money.
I would be. See, that's the funny thing is, I think I'm the same way. That if I was a billionaire, I don't think I would be doing my intra money to put into those interests. It's like I wouldn't. The same things that fascinate me now, the same things that I'm doing now, I still would be doing. But for example, you would put your money into colorizing. I think for me, I'd be hiring translators so that I wouldn't have to translate. Put all the money into translators, do it. Same interest, same text, whatnot. So it's I'm with you there. That's that. The interests don't change. Someone once famously said, "Money doesn't change you; it just magnifies the things you've already got going on." And I think that's so true. But in my neck of the woods, things have been mostly the same. Been extraordinarily busy. October. What a month it was! It was such a busy month. I know how busy you all were. Same thing. It was something. I'm hoping November's a little bit more laid back, but I have a sneaking suspicion it won't be. I am actually all booked for readings in November. So if you're looking for a reading for me, December, you're going to have to book a month in advance. November is entirely booked out. So it is what it is. The holidays are busy times, and it's better to be busy than not busy, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to just say one other thing about spending the billionaire money. I know I've mentioned it before on the radio. Back when I used to travel a lot working in the comic book business, we'd go from convention to convention, and me and my ex, we liked to drive. Well, he liked to drive. I like to be a passenger because I can't drive. And we'd see places or beautiful Art Deco cafes, and they had broken neon signs. Neon signs had pieces missing. And I used to say, God, if I was rich, like Paul McCartney, I don't know why Paul McCartney showed up. It was because he was breeding rare sheep. And I thought, gee, if I was as rich as Paul McCartney, I would outfit a big van, and we'd have a whole neon bending shop, and we would just go in the night when people were asleep, and we'd repair their beautiful Art Deco neon signs for them without them knowing it, right? And they'd wake up, and the next day, their neon signs would be working.
Oh, cool.
And then I could photograph them. I could photograph the neon.
You'd want to put a timer
cousin
on
Joshua,
the light switch, though.
Cousin Joshua says, hang on a second, Cousin Joshua says in the chat room, Tauruses always have good plan Bs for extra cash. If you want to experience luxury, hang out with the Taurus and bring
That's
cash.
True. That's true.
That's so good. Well, I heard the voice of the little voice of Miss Michael. So let's bring Miss Michael on. Hi, Miss Michael.
Welcome, Miss Michael.
Well, just before I forget, you would want to put a timer on the power switch on those neon signs so that at nighttime the sign goes on because the owner might not realize it had been repaired and might not
That's
turn it on.
Right. That's right. And I got to tell you, one time in Lordsburg, New Mexico, we went in, there was a neon sign that wasn't working. And I went in and I said, gee, I remember this neon sign from, you know, when I was like 20 years younger. It's too bad it doesn't work anymore. And the lady said, oh, no, you just have to turn the switch. She turned the switch and the whole thing lit up. I said, why don't you do it anymore? She goes, well, they built the interstate and no one comes through town. It's just so much money to keep it lit, you know, and now we're just downtown and nobody drives by anymore. And I thought, wow, it was still there. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice of her to put it on for you.
Yeah, well, if you were really a billionaire, then you'd endow a trust, you know. The neon rent payment trust or whatever. I think neon signs should be declared National Historic Landmarks, you see.
They're going out of favor for some reason. You don't see that many of them anymore. Have you noticed that?
Nah. They're very expensive to run and they're expensive to repair.
That's what it is.
Hi, Miss Michael.
Hi.
You brought us a topic today, which is doll babies for domination and cursing. Now, I'm going to just give a little introduction for people who don't know you. Miss Michael is one of the three nicest people in California, and I won't tell you who the other two are, but it isn't me. And Miss Michael, no, I'm not one of the three nicest, but you are. This is by popular acclaim. And Miss Michael is known for her clever root work. I got to say clever is a really good word for it. And lives up in Willits, California, has been a presenter at the Hoodoo Heritage Festivals, has written for some of the publications that we've put out, and operates HoodooFoundry.com. So if you're not familiar with Miss Michael, go look up Hoodoo Foundry and find it on Facebook as well and like the Facebook page, but it also exists as a website. What else can I say about you, Miss Michael?
Well, one thing I will say is that I have to get inventive when I don't feel the depth of knowledge to be traditional. You know? because sometimes I have to fill in a gap, and that's how hoodoo varies from, why hoodoo varies so much from the ancestral African magic from the countries where the slaves came, were kidnapped from. Because, you know, nobody knew everything, and some of it got forgotten. And so, well, we used to know how to do this. Who else knows how to do it by whatever means? And that's part of the reason we have so much scripture in hoodoo. And the rest of it is, you know, sincere faith and the roots of Christianity in African history than most Westerners realize. Oh, also my daughter got married last week.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And Contraman put into the chat, and don't forget Caroline Dye Memorial Chapel.
That's another thing that you do.
Yeah. And you did a wonderful presentation of your altars at the virtual Hoodoo Heritage Festival this year. Doc Murphy reminds us of that. So let's get into our topic. Our topic is doll babies for domination and cursing. So as usual, I'm just going to open with a little quickie. Obviously, doll babies can be made for many things. The idea of the word voodoo doll, which is a total misnomer, as you know, being used to represent only dolls of cursing with nails through their little hearts and things like that, is something that does, you know, exist in the popular mind. But dolls can be used for healing, for helping, and we've done some shows on those before, and you can look them up. But this time we're going to do dolls for domination and cursing, or the more traditional doll baby work. So take it away, Miss Michael. It's all yours, and we'll join in when we feel like it.
Well, I'm going to illustrate with two stories from my own work for clients. I was doing one doll baby, working it on my own altar, to banish somebody's mistress from their life and their marriage. But the wife could not send me anything but a picture. She had no hair. She had no clothing. She didn't even have a handwriting sample. So I did my best, and nothing happened at all. Nothing. A client, same kind of work with a doll baby, and she sent me a little bit of her husband's hair. And it seemed to be working kind of intermittently. It was a love doll baby, so I was, you know, trying to work their reconciliation, and he fell in love with her all over again, but he didn't give up the mistress. And so since I had his hair, I started punishing that doll baby. I stuck it full of knitting needles and then put it on my altar so that the knitting needles were holding it off the table. Not a situation you'd want to be in. And still the misbehavior continued. She texted me crying one night saying, he's still with his girlfriend. I'm out to dinner with him, and he just started talking about his girlfriend. And so I was so angry that I snatched up the doll baby and I started squeezing it. And she texted me again a few minutes later saying, my husband is having trouble breathing. That's some power. That's what personal concerns can do.
Wow. That's a good one. Yeah. I'm going to tell you one of the oldest doll baby spells I know, which is not from African-derived hoodoo. I got it out of an ancient book on Indian folk magic, and it was about making a little rice doll. I just loved this thing. I did it. It worked. You just take sticky rice and you make a little doll. You put something personal of the person into it, and you put it on a spit. In other words, you just run it through, like with a shish kebab skewer, from its, you know, the crown of its head down out through its asshole, right? So you, there it is. It's this little person made of sticky rice. And then you have a fire underneath, and you start just rotating it like on a spit, like a goat on a spit, you know, or an ox or whatever you might be, spit roasting. And it begins to toast and brown. And eventually the person begins to feel love and warmth and heat. And then it starts to get a little hot for them. And then you put it out, you take it off the spit, and you hold it to you and cool it down a little bit against your bosom. And you put it back on the spit. You just do that. Well, I did that, and it worked. And so I became a doll baby fanatic with this very ancient Vedic way of working. Just something that worked for me.
That's fascinating because I do something very similar. I love doll baby work. It's probably one of my go-to. It's just the tactile nature of being an earth sign Taurus, right? I do bottle spells and doll baby work and talismans more than I do candles, to be honest. So I love doll baby work, but there's one that I do that's very similar to what you mentioned, but I use it with wax. And it's not for a love mm-hmm. spell, but it is to weaken someone's will against you. If you're up against somebody, if you're in a competition or in a legal case or you're fighting with a neighbor and they're stronger than you are, then you can weaken their will by making a doll baby out of wax. And you stuff the wax with herbs and its personal concerns. You baptize it. And like in the case of the rice doll baby, you skewer it. I use a metal skewer because I don't want it to burn. So I use a metal skewer and you place it over a heat very high up because you don't want it to melt fast. You want it to melt slowly. And it'll mm-hmm. slowly melt and slowly shrink. And you've got to really watch it because you don't want it to slip off of the skewer and just go splat.
Mm-hmm.
So you do it very mm-hmm. slowly and you just kind of watch this doll baby shrink. And as it shrinks, so too does the person weaken and wither. And I've done this working, and people have physically lost weight and have looked gaunt as a result of it. It's very powerful. You've got to be very careful with this. Don't just do it randomly because someone annoyed you. It's got to be a real enemy that you want to dominate and break their will. And you do it over a period mm-hmm. of days, 9 days, letting that wax shrink and shrink and shrink, and therefore break mm-hmm. the will of your enemy.
Wow. That's really a great one. You know, there are some psalms that mention, is it Psalms 35, the one that mentions that they will be like the fat that disappears
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. in the cooking. That's a really good one, too. I'm gonna throw in another one because you got into a wax doll that you roast, and I mentioned the sticky rice. But I have actually made a meat doll.
Ooh.
And you can... And a bacon doll, for instance, can be made like a gingerbread man. But you can also just take salt pork, which is what I used. So you just chop out a doll out of salt pork and, again, rotate it on the – and let the fat melt away. And this is to weaken the will of somebody. And, of course, the last step is after the fat has, you know, dripped away pretty much and the thing is not burned or anything like that, you just – pop it in your mouth and eat it. Chew it up.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You have swallowed
them. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ate them alive.
Mm-hmm. Ate them alive, that's right.
That's a Spanish idiom for totally defeating somebody. I ate him alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, give us
fantastic.
Another one, Miss Michael. Your turn.
Well, let's see. Well, one thing I like to do, you know, I mostly hand-knit my doll babies. And I make them in pieces so I can stuff each piece as I go. But so I don't have much variety, at least not till now, in the way I make them. But I don't hesitate to make a doll baby for love. And if the, especially in cases of infidelity, I won't hesitate to
mm-hmm.
take the baby off the doll off the love altar and punish it. Like I did
mm-hmm.
with the knitting
mm-hmm.
needles, or
mm-hmm.
put it on a leash and make the leash a little bit tight and just drag it around your garden amongst the thorny weeds, or you can put it in the dryer,
mm.
or you can let the cats play with it, rub it with catnip and
mm-hmm.
hand it over.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I like that, rotating them in
uh-huh.
the dryer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I like putting them on a leash. That's a little kinky.
Well, you can also do that as part of a friendly love spell. Serve me and be happy. Serve me and like it. Have fun, serve me.
Well, if you like that kind
of
thing.
It,
if you don't like that kind of thing,
you
ain't going to do that. But, but put it on a leash and and lead it around like a little puppy. That's a way of dominating, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, Doc Murphy asked for a vegetarian version of the meat doll, and Nagashiva said use a mushroom. I would think that a very good solid mushroom like a Boletus edulis would work. I was also thinking of a beet because they kind of bleed. And beets beets are used by vegetarian Jews to represent the lamb shank at the Passover. And
interesting.
So, you know, yeah, well, you got to be around hippie Jews to get that one, you know. A group of committed hippie Jews will hold up a beet. And they have even changed, you know, they even changed the ritual to mention the beet, okay? And then, of course, the feminists hold up the orange after that because there is no orange. They go, what is this orange doing here? Because there is no orange because there's no place for one in Judaism. Traditional Judaism doesn't accept women, but we do, and here's the orange to prove it. Anyway, so a beet. A beet would be really good. But also you could use a malformed, they call it malformed. You can get those malformed carrots if you go to, you know what I mean, if you grow your own carrots. Carrots with little arms and legs, turnips with little arms and legs. There's actually ways to make those. I'm going to reveal a gardener's secret. If you want to make a malformed carrot, you can plant carrots, and as they grow, you can actually kind of get in under them make a little nick and put a pebble. And those carrots will grow around that as, you know, they will change their shape. And you can end up with all kinds of crazy twisted carrots and carrots with arms and legs. And people do this all the time just to amuse themselves. Of course, not everyone comes out perfect. Yeah, but you can do it. You can actually make malformed carrots. There's another way to make malformed. This is like crazed. There's another way to make malformed fruit. This is all for Doc Murphy, by the way. Any kind of fruit that grows above ground that makes a solid, you know, like a squash, you know, like a zook, for instance, zucchini. There are zook cages and squash cages. Trust me, they exist. You can make your own, in which you pop it over. That can be made of glass or plastic. Any kind of candle, a thin candle mold plastic will work. You pop them over the growing fruit, and the fruit is then confined and will take the form of whatever that mold was. At some point, it'll, you know, either pop the mold or it won't be able to anymore. You got to pick it. But that is how people get interestingly shaped vegetables. So, Doc Murphy, I turn you loose. Go find your local fun-loving gardeners, and you can do all the vegetarian. yes, and Covet Gift 2 says gourds will mold as well. Yeah, anything in the cucurbite family will do it. It's just because they grow very quickly, and they will fill the mold.
They're watermelons in Japan. That's how they do it.
They do with what in Japan?
They grow square watermelons that way.
Oh, far out. Yeah, well, that's another cucurbite.
Yeah, they place them in a tender box.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That is so cool. Yeah.
The doll baby in the washing machine reminds me of something that I do, that I've said on this radio show, I think, several times. One of the ways that I do dominating, and this is specifically for, not for love, but a little bit more, you know, making someone's mind a little bit weaker in the head. You can do it for love. I wouldn't recommend it. It's very coercive. But I bind up the doll baby, and I hang it from my ceiling fan. And I just let that ceiling fan go. And it causes vertigo and dizziness and weakness. But it is a way to keep someone off balance. And it works quite well if you want to punish someone who is a wayward lover or who has cheated on you or has left, but you want them to return, but you want a little bit of suffering before they return to you. You want to model that behavior. You use the ceiling fan. I've done it. I just leave it on. Leave it on all day. And the thing to understand with doll babies is that when we're working on them, this is not metaphoric. They're going to feel vertigo. They're going to feel dizzy. So don't go out there and smash a doll baby with a hammer unless you really want to break someone with a hammer, right? Like, be mindful that when you do this, this is not, you know, oh, I put them on the wheel. That means they'll just come back to me. No. If you put them on a fan, they're going to feel dizzy and confused, and they're going to feel off balance. So be mindful that this is some literal form of magic here. But it is very powerful. I've recommended it on the radio show several times. But it does work really, really well. And every time you pass it, you pray over it. You speak to it. You let them know why they're on that fan and why they're spinning out of control.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wouldn't use that for love, because some people, when their life starts going downhill, they get mean. And you don't want that in your house.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is ideal. This would be ideal for someone who's already left your house, so a wayward lover rather than a person who you're sleeping next to. So this is the ex that has left, the husband that's not taking care of their kids, the wife that is cheating on you. That's where you would use this. A little bit of punishment, a little bit of domination, but specifically to weaken the mind and the will.
Yeah. You know, we're so advanced here, we didn't even talk about the simple things like tying the hands behind the back tying the feet together, making it kneel in a hostage position. I mean, assuming that our fans and friends already know about that stuff, but we do have to mention it for the newbies. One of the best ways to work with a doll, clay doll, wax doll, whatever, is tie its hands behind its back, tie its legs together, arms together, and then stab it with 13 pins or 13 needles. It's always used 13, as going back to classical ancient times, but which 13 places vary depending on your needs or your region of learning the spell. But usually two in the eyes, two in the ears, you know, and so forth. And then you can, you know, one in the heart. There's a, you know, it just depends, one in the groin, whatever you want to do. Usually one through the feet, one through the two hands. But there are many, many ways to do it. Look up doll stabbed by 13 pins, 13 needles. It's a very traditional way. People think of the so-called voodoo doll stereotype. It's like you just randomly stab these in. But actually, classically speaking, they go in a certain way.
Look up
Etruscan doll stabbed by nails. You will see a picture of an actual Etruscan doll stabbed by nails. It's in a museum. Most famous doll baby ever.
That's perfect. Yeah, I was going to mention that another kind of going back to basics is when I teach my clients to do doll baby work, I tell them to actually create the skeleton out of licorice root. That the spine should be licorice. Now, I generally just make a little cross so that you have a spine and two arms, and then I bind that together. If it's a sliver of licorice, you can write their name and a command on it. So you can write obey or bend in me or whatever it is. You can write it on the licorice, and then I form the doll baby around that, whether it's a cloth doll baby or it's a wax doll baby or it's a clay one. That forms the spine. Now, the reason I do this is, one, licorice is great for domination and for influence work more broadly, but it has the added benefit that if you need to take things to a next level, you can break the back of the doll baby. So if you need to move it to that next level, you can bend it. It's a little bit flexible, so you can kind of bend it before breaking it. And then if you're like, all right, that's it, time to take this to the next level, you can actually snap the doll baby in half.
Wow. That is extreme.
I just posted in our chat a picture of the Etruscan doll, which is in Paris. So it's, I got the picture off of Wikimedia Commons. Why not? Oops, I gotta spell it right. There you go. Hope that works. If it doesn't work, I left out the G in JPG. Someone fixed that. My mistake. It won't work until you fix it. Anyway, there you go. He just fixed it. Thank you. So there's the Etruscan doll stabbed by the little nails. Everyone loves that doll. Now, another thing you can do when making a doll is to put things in it. And we've kind of talked about putting a hair in it, putting parts of the body, fingernails and whatever. I like to make stuffed dolls also. You make them out of cloth. I like to make them out of the cloth of the person who the work is being done against to hurt them and harm them. If I can't find their cloth, like let's say there's some well-known politician, for instance, I would maybe get their photo and put their photo of their face on the doll. But I might stuff it with cursing herbs and crossing herbs, bandle root in their feet to make them have stinky feet, and red pepper powder at their groin to make them get an itch, and whatever it's going to be. And you can use Spanish moss to fill up the spaces, or incense, or you can use Spanish moss come out the top to make hair for them, and you can give them a comb over with Spanish moss if you want to do that.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing you can do with a doll, we haven't talked about putting dolls in boxes. And Ms. Robin did a fantastic video on this at the Virtual Hoodoo Heritage Festival 2020. And the idea here is that you're going to put the doll on what we sometimes call a bed of pain, a cactus pad, blackberry leaves turned upside down with the spines up. You're going to put slugs, snails, verminous insects, dead things, snake sheds, whatever, just dead flies, whatever you got. And then you can then cover it over with powdered, like a little coverlet of powdered red pepper powder, goofer dust, and so forth. And so the doll is lying on its back in its little coffin. And these are done usually with such a doll. I put down under it as a sort of an underlayment, the charge of its crimes, why this is happening to this doll. And I often will put over it also a little coverlet with more of its crimes and punishments written so that it's kind of connected to its crimes. It's not just random, I hate this person, but why? And then that can go in a mirror box to return evil, or it can just go in a coffin box or cemetery box and be buried in a cemetery.
Yeah, part of the way those boxes work, and they work off of the principle that you're putting constant pressure. So most doll baby work is like you do it a little bit and then you put it down. You put it on an altar or you leave it somewhere, that there's periods where you're working it and periods where you're not, where you're holding it, talking to it and whatnot, manipulating it, and other periods where it's sort of resting. But the box work is that it's constantly surrounded, whether it's surrounded by things that hurt it, nails and blackberry leaves, or mirrors that reflect back. That's a way of really consistently applying pressure. And you can do this using the other senses as well. Taking a doll baby and playing a single song on repeat is very, very good for enforcing a particular memory. So let's say if you want a little bit of an edge to your love work or return to me work, take the song that is your song or your couple's song and play that over and over again on repeat to the doll baby, and the doll baby will hear it. Everywhere they go, they'll be reminded of that song. And this way, you're constantly working it even as you're not actually manipulating the doll baby. You could also do this with the sense of smell, keeping the doll baby behind the toilet if you want to punish someone with foul odors. Or if you want to drive them crazy with lust, then you will wrap them up in your used underwear. This will help them to smell you, and it will drive them. This is a way of constantly working that doll baby, even if you're not actively engaged with it, using smell, using sound, and even using sight. You can place the doll baby facing a photo of a happy couple. I've done this for cases when we've had one of the partners have left and they need to come back. They have responsibilities to children. And I will set the doll baby up when I'm not actively working to face a picture of the happy family. And it will force them to remember, to think about their obligations, their duties, and their love, and their happy home.
This is real funny. Shiva put in the chat, recordings of jackhammers.
if you want to drive someone nuts, totally.
Yeah, that would
probably
be great.
Get some jackhammer samples on the internet somewhere.
I'm sure there are, and screaming people. You know, that's the kind of thing you might do with the skull candle too. If you have a skull candle and put little headphones on it and just play, tension, apprehension, and dissension have begun, or whatever, over and over and over again.
Tensor said tensor, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you knew that. Tensor said the tensor.
Yes.
I love
Demolished
you, Michael. The Demolished Man by Alfred Bester.
I read that when I was in my middle teens. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I use that on dolls. I do that all. I mean, that was Tensor said the tensor. You know, Tensor said Ninsor Acer. Well, it's a little poem. But the end part of it, tension, apprehension, and dissension have begun. I use that on dolls all the time. That is so funny that you knew that too.
Earworm. That's a great idea.
Now, we were talking about, Shiva says in the, well, he was very kind to me. He said, I had a great cursing doll in my video at the festival. This was how to make a doll baby out of beeswax that is hexagonal beeswax, the kind that's found in honeycomb. It's honeycomb wax. And you use Vaseline on your hands to soften the wax and make it into modeling wax as you go. And you make a couple of little slits. You start with a 2.25 by 2.25 inch square. You slit, fold, and you got the doll. Before you put the two parts together, you spread the little powdered herbs in it so the doll now has the herbs. And then you fold and roll it. You can also, of course, put a hair in at that point. And then you just keep on working it, molding it, and modeling it, and you end up with it. Then when you have that doll, you can put it in different liquids. And, of course, for the subject of cursing, you would want to put it in vinegar, would be a good one.
Yeah.
And I just told one of the Aquarians who called me the other day how to make the one that's also in that new book we did called Bottle Up and Go, but by me and Lara Rivera. And that has a wonderful one where you use milk and vinegar, and you punch a hole in the lid, put it out in the sun, you fill it about half full with milk, and then pull it up to the shoulder with vinegar. Don't fill it all the way. Punch a hole in the lid from the inside out and set it out in the sun for 3 days to rot, and the milk will clabber. And this is specifically done to sour a mother-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at the festival, somebody asked me, why would you want to sour a mother-child relationship? But then, of course, on Saturday, my person called up and said, so how do I break him loose from his dominating, horrible mother? And there's the spell. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a breakup spell in the normal sense of that you would use between two lovers. It's really for a mother and child to find fault with each other, their relationship just to turn old, sour, rotten. And then, of course, you end by burying it upside down. It becomes a dripping jar spell as well as being a doll
baby
spell.
Oh, wow. That really combines so many different elements. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. She, and this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. When I get inventive because I'm missing tradition. See, I only heard about the clabbering spell at the festival. I had never heard of that before.
Oh, really?
But anyway, I was thinking, we were talking about vegetarian doll babies instead of meat ones. And you could boil the doll soft and put it in the cooking liquid in a jar, hole in the lid, upside down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
in
that
fact,
would pretty much be the equivalent of fat rendering off a meat doll.
Yes.
Wouldn't it?
I'm already thinking of a root doll, you know, made out of a root, an edible root like a carrot or beet or something like that, and putting it in a pressure cooker and canning it.
Just
love that.
It in the mush.
That's
wow.
In the mush.
Yeah, I'd love to see some people pressure cooked, and then you can wrap aluminum foil all around it to make a mirror box when you're done. It would look like you know. I'm just thinking of some of those weird freak shows where they had three-headed human embryo. You know what I'm talking about. I'm thinking you could do something really, really bad on somebody. You could use it, do it with a meat doll too, but definitely pressure cook it. Oh my God, what a trip!
Yeah, pressure cook it with nasty stuff. Well, too much pepper, too much mustard.
Yeah. Well, we have some vivid imaginations on how to go in these different directions. You know, one of the things I always tell people is that the best hoodoo comes out of domesticity. Hoodoo, unlike some of the Afro-Caribbean religion approaches to magic, which, you know, involve deities, nature spirits, whatever, imploring someone, or even Santeria imploring a saint as a kind of a cover for an African deity. Most hoodoo that I know that really is vital hoodoo is domestic domestic magic. And I wouldn't go so far as to exactly call it secular, but it is kind of secular. But of course, you use the Psalms or you use Deuteronomy or whatever you're going to, you know, Genesis or some line from the Bible as part of the imprecation or curse in this case. But the work itself, and when I did that workshop on Bottle Up and Go, I showed these pictures of women with canning jars. You know, these were from the State Extension Bureau, you know, the Home Economics Extension Bureau, where they were teaching people how to can things, and how to can it, use a pressure cooker. But you look at it and you go, yeah, those could be the heads of my enemies. You know, like a whole canful of Brussels sprouts. Right? So you know how Brussels sprouts grow? They grow on a stalk, they got little heads, and they're like a tiny miniature little cabbage heads. And you drill down into each one, and you fill it with that person's name, and then you just can up a whole can full of Brussels sprouts. Now, you may think I just made that up, but I actually used to have an old poster that said, "We'll pickle the Kaiser." And it showed, you know, the German Kaiser, World War One, right? And it was about keep the home fires burning. You know, we're the ladies behind the soldiers, and we're going to pickle the Kaiser. So this does go back, you see, a ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a really old-timey kitchen spell around Doll Babies where you make it out of red pepper, those big kind of red chili peppers that you can hollow out. You use that
like
the
ancho
body.
Peppers?
Yeah, and you use the ginger. You carve out ginger for the head and for the legs and the arms. You can all stick it together with toothpicks, and you make basically a human body out of this. And you fry it. You fry it, and you heat it up, and you burn it. You can actually stuff the red pepper with black peppers if you'd like, and then or with garlic, whatever. And then you actually take the – you've kind of heated up and fry it, and then you actually put it in oil. You place it in a jar of oil, and then the oil is used almost like a fourth thieves vinegar for a salad dressing. You feed it to the person that you're trying to get rid of. So you first have this fantastic doll baby made out of red pepper and ginger and all these hot things. Then you heat it up with fire, make it nice and warm and toasty. Then you place it in oil and feed it to the person on a little bit on the salad or a little bit in the cooking to drive them out, to really affect them. Really powerful work, and it's completely domestic, all done with stuff that you can find in your kitchen. No fancy candles, no fancy charms, just stuff. It's just your oven. It's just the stuff you find in your pantry and your refrigerator.
Wow. I found the link to the thing. It was from the National War Garden Commission, and it was not pickle. It was canned vegetables, fruit, and the Kaiser too. So yeah, it really existed, and I used to have that in my collection before the big flood that took out half my collection. So I'll get the picture up here. It's pretty funny.
There are other examples of hanging doll babies in jars. There's a particularly good one if you want a person to reflect on the things they've done wrong. I use this when I want to make someone apologize. You craft a doll baby, you bind it up, and then you hang it inside a large mason jar. So you poke a hole in the top of the mason jar, put the thread in that you've wrapped up around the legs of the doll baby, stick the doll baby in, and on the inside of the jar, or on the outside works as well, you put your petition. I can put an image of something that they've done. If, for example, they've caused a car accident, put the image of the car accident. If it's an event, you can write out just, you know, when you said this and you said that or whatever. You write it out on a piece of paper and you hot glue it, or you stick it on or fix it onto the bottle. And so the doll baby hangs inside of the bottle, slowly kind of spinning around, forced to confront the thing that you want them to confront. And you can leave it there. Every time you walk over, you hold the jar in your hands and you pray, so-and-so, your thoughts dwell on this. You're unable to rest. You feel yourself cast about by the wind until you come back and apologize.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty wild. Nagashiva has gone wild with gummy bears and peeps. I don't know about the peeps, honey. That, you know, I don't have that many rabbits I want to curse. But you know, we do toast peeps, and we toast marshmallows, and of course that's another You know, Nagashiva is just a funny guy. Gummy bears, I don't know. I'm sorry, I missed what you said. Say again.
You could dissolve gummy bears.
I didn't hear that.
Am I the only one? I didn't hear that.
Your
voice has gone all hollow and tin can.
You can dissolve the gummy bears.
Oh, of course. Dissolving the gummy bears in vinegar and baking soda. We haven't even gotten into vinegar and baking. You know, vinegar and baking soda volcanoes. I'm sorry, just saying. It's so much fun. And, yeah. There are many ways. Yeah. Wait. Now again, we're going real crazy here. But let's talk about, again, let's get back to some traditional ideas. Another way to torture a doll baby that's, you know, very traditional is to put it in the hollow of a tree. So this would be a tree that has a natural hollow in it. But that's not dead yet. You don't want a dead tree exactly. You could use a dead tree, I guess, but I've always thought it was a live tree. And so you're going to put this little doll, you're going to make it up, you can curse it, and then you're going to put it in the hollow tree. And the idea is it stays in the hollow tree until the tree dies and falls over, and then it's released, of course. But by then, possibly the person is dead by then. So the hollow tree entombment is not like a curse unto death, but it's kind of like putting them in a box. They can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. It helps if you have that hollow tree somewhere there where they may walk, because then they'll really feel the effects of it as they walk by it.
That's really good. Yeah, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. If you put, there's certain plants like vines and whatnot that'll wrap themselves up around doll babies. So if you select, if you know, have a little bit of knowledge of trees and botany, you can select trees and or plants that will actually wrap themselves up around the doll baby or will grow through the doll baby. It takes a long time, obviously, to do that. So you want something a little bit more fast moving, or you plant it in the roots of a tree that you've planted yourself, and it will grow through the doll baby, and then you have a living extension of the doll baby that you can work the tree or the plant that you've planted.
I'm going to give you some suggestions here from a botanist point of view. There's one.
Please.
There's one that already somebody's going to say it. Bindweed, which is a morning glory, is a John the Conqueror relative. Okay. And it grows real fast and is real tight, winds up real tight.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tie it down. Bindweed grows along by the ground. So that's a really good way to work, to tie something down. Other things that tie and make tendrils, pea family tendrils, but they're not as tight or as strangulating. Peas are more pliable. Bindweed is the nasty one, and will do very well. Another one that is very long-growing, and I don't know that it would be so good for torture. It would probably be better for good home love, is wisteria. And wisteria also grows very tight, but it takes a long time to do it. And I would buy for binding a person at home, you see, because wisteria is a long, long, it'll live 200 years, you know.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to give the simplest doll baby I've ever made. Very, very straightforward, very simple. It was just made out of paper. What you do is you cut out paper in the form of a doll. You write the person's name 9 times, but each time as you write it, you remove one letter of the name until you're left with just one letter. So you're shrinking and eliminating their name. You're withering away the name. You place the doll baby in your shoe and you walk on it. This is done to dominate someone, particularly in the work environment, a boss or someone that you want to have control over. Every step you take is one step on that person. It's you dominating them. It's a very effective, very easy, very straightforward.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one. You know, I'm going to go back to the idea of that bindweed, because there's an idea here. Is the doll made of something permanent, or is it something that will decay? And there is something to be said for making wooden dolls or something that's more permanent. For instance, if you were bindweed doesn't last forever. It's a seasonal plant, but wisteria does. I mean, it's forever. If you put a little wooden doll, even like a clothespin doll, you know what I'm talking about? Old-fashioned clothespin. I don't mean those ones with the metal clicky, but the old-fashioned clothespin. People used to make dolls out of them. You paint a little face on them and make a little doll out of them. If you put a clothespin doll and wound a tendril of wisteria around it and attended to it, you know, probably for about 3 weeks or so, that it would grow around that. That would be in there. And then it would just keep on growing. That wisteria vine would grow really big. Those wisteria vines can get big around as your arm. And that doll would be there forever, bound up. Kind of interesting. I've never done it, but I believe it would be, if I had problems with faithfulness with a husband or something, I think I might give it a try. Luckily, I don't. Shiva, you're spared being tied up in our wisterias.
It's too funny. I know exactly the clothespins you're talking about. I think everyone at some point in elementary school made doll babies out of, not doll, like magical dolls, but made actual dolls out of them. There was some project that involved using those clothespins, and you decorated them and whatnot. And they do look like dolls. You turn them up with a little bob at the, they look like people, little wooden people.
Yeah, they look like little people. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And they still make and sell those clothespins. Not that many people hang their clothes up, but people still use them for crafting, you know.
Look up Google shaker clothespins. You'll see something very similar.
What's it called? Google, what was the word?
Shaker clothespins.
Oh, shaker clothespins. Yeah, because the shakers used to make a lot of wooden goods. Yeah, exactly. The shakers made boxes and furniture and stuff, and they made, you know, the last thing after you cut the tree down, you made the furniture, you made the whatever, you end up with the clothespins. That's how it's done. Waste not, want not. Clothespin dolls. Well, again, we're going to talk about some of the ways to torture. Now, you could torture a clothespin doll by scorching its little feet in the fire, too, of course. Anything that can kind of burn but not quite burn. And then, of course, you can, dip it in Florida water and set it afire. You can do whatever you want to. We haven't talked much about setting things afire with Florida water, so I just want to mention that. Florida water, it's a perfume. It smells real nice. Everybody loves it. Oh, it's so cleanly. It's so beautiful. It cured my headache. But that stuff is freaking flammable. And one of the neat ways you can work with a doll is to put it in a cauldron, like an iron cauldron, and or in a iron pan, and then put in the Florida water and say, I'm going to give you a nice perfumed bath. Oops, just dropped a match in it. Up they go.
Yeah, if you want to see an image of it, if you go to my air page, the second photo down, there's a cauldron on fire. There's a doll baby being consumed by Florida water flames.
That's right. That's right. That's a beautiful photo, and it said air. Maybe someone can put the URL in.
And you're automatically purifying the place afterwards because you made a fire of purification perfume.
I know. Isn't that great? I love Florida water. It's so multi-purpose, you know, and cheap enough that setting it on fire is not the worst thing in the world you can do with your cash, you know. And Cousin Joshua says, it burns lovely blue and smells pretty good. That's right. All right. Well, we've come to the end of this fascinating panel, and I think we threw out 100 ideas. We threw out almost enough ideas for one book if we wrote it.
Really?
Or at least a half a book, or at least a quarter of a book. So thank you, Miss Michael. We're going to get all this together. There will be a book on doll babies probably next year, I'm hoping. We'll see. All right, let's turn this over to Evan Lionheart, and we're going to get our client ready.
Stay tuned. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, Conjurman, and this week's special guest, Miss Mike Hale, will be right back. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic Chandra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and talk to our client. Our first caller is Danny, calling from area code 205. Danny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much for giving us a call today. You had indicated, as per your submission, that you've had no readings on the situation with either Miss Cat, Conjure Man, or our guest. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm going to read a brief synopsis briefly before turning it over to our host. Okay?
Okay.
Danny writes, I'm 32.
That's correct.
And thankfully have... Perfect. Thank you. I'm 32 and thankfully have finished my all-too-recent Saturn return. Although I'm ready to settle down, I'm not ready to simply find the one without testing the waters and having options. I want to experience a bit of luxury while having a good dating pool of generous men to pick from. Is it in the cards for me? And if so, what are some practices that could bring luxury, wealth, and chivalry into my life from dating through to marriage? Turning it over to you, Miss Cat.
All right. Well, hi, Danny. It's so interesting to meet somebody who has such a clear idea of what they want. I'm going to tell you, when I was your age, when I was younger than your age, when I was older than your age, all I thought was, where can I get sex next? But you, no, that was it. I mean, it was just like, got to have sex now, please, got to have sex. And I would basically take any old guy, you know, some of which were not so good for me. So it's nice to see somebody so different. So I'm going to ask you, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I am an Aquarius sun and a Taurus moon.
Okay. Do I win a prize, folks? Do I?
You really are getting those Aquariuses.
Another Aquarius sun. But you got a Taurus moon, so you got a little sex in there. You laughed when I said sex. You didn't freeze up anyway. All right. I've got the Taurus. Well, I have the Taurus sun and the Aquarius moon, so I just went for the sex. And after a while, I thought it would help if they were smart, intellectual, and knew some tech, you know? took me a while to figure that out. All right, well, I'm going to do a reading for you, and then what we're going to have is we're going to have Miss Michael do a reading, and then Ollie will give you some root work, okay?
Sounds great.
And to all the Aquarians of the world who I haven't talked to this week, just phone, I'm waiting. All right, so you're looking for a dating pool, chivalrous people. That's a great word. I love that. And you're looking for someone who will give you the experience of luxury and generosity. All right. And the question is it in the cards for me? All right. I'm going to cut the cards. We're going to see what we got. Yes, it is in the cards for you, baby. Nine of Pentacles. This is the card that I've called the Duchess. She's not one of the queens. She's not one of the pages or princesses, but she's obviously a noble woman. She's out in her garden. It's a garden of grapes. She has a house behind her, which is her house. She owns it. She has beautiful trees. She has piles of money, and she has a beautiful dress on with Venus symbols embroidered all over it in such a way that they look like kind of stylized flowers, like maybe zinnias or something of that nature. And she has two piles of money. On one side, she has a pile of 6 coins. On the other, a pile of 3 coins. Under the 6 coins, there is a snail. And over the 3 coins, she holds her gloved hand. And in her hand, she holds the jesses or straps for a sparrow hawk or lady hawk who's going to hunt for her, who has a hood over its head. On her right hand, where she's holding down the big pile of money, she has a ring on her index finger. Her right index finger, sometimes called the Ring of Solomon, whereby he could hear and understand the speech of animals, but it's also a ring of power and control, and it's your Jupiter finger of money. So you're going to meet two people. You're going to meet somebody who's got the money, who's got the luxury, but they're never going to marry you. They're a snail. They will always be courteous. They will always be able to be there for you. They will shower you with luxury goods. But in the end, lady, you're going to marry the poorer man who does your bidding. And so you have fun, because you're gonna have quite a ride with. But don't. I mean, I wouldn't say be a bigamist. That's not probably the Aquarian way. But you can find the men with the money, but they're not going to marry you. When you marry, you will marry for love, and the one you marry for love will be someone who, when you take off that hood, that mask, you'll look them right in the eye and you'll go, oh, this is the one. And it doesn't matter how much luxury, doesn't matter how much money, because they are there to serve you coffee in bed, and they are there to, you know, massage your aching little feet. You know what I'm saying? And so you get both. You're going to have the best of both possible worlds through your 30s, and I would just enjoy it. And card number two is a card of a great deal of money. This card is called the Ten of Pentacles, and this is a card of a family that has accumulated money and owns land and has children and grandchildren. So I would say that you're going to, and pets, dogs, actually, they have some dogs. You're going to end up wealthy toward the end of your life. Maybe not immediately, but at the end of your life, you will have put away a lot of money. You'll have land. You'll have property. You'll have children and grandchildren. If not children and grandchildren, at least you'll have some good puppy dogs. And this is a card of passing your wealth on down through the generations. And it's a very good card. Tells me that your Taurus moon is definitely operating here. Your third card is a bit of a shock. And the third card is the Fool. So the Fool is a card that we don't like to end with too much, because it's kind of like, what? You just stepped over a cliff. So the Fool shows a person who is optimistic, who's looking on the bright side of life, always going to hope for the best, has a white rose looking for love, but it's going to fall over a cliff. What this says to me is the best made plans of mice and men gone off the glide. And so there's a little white dog barking out a warning. That would be me, I guess. And the Fool is, you're going to fall in love. So your plan is good, but you're, in the end, this is kind of a reiteration of that first card. They have both have yellow skies. And it says, when the stranger comes calling, when that lovely person comes who's the perfect one, all these plans of luxury and chivalry and all, you just kind of go, oh, that was nice. I want him, right? And this card of the Fool, but, you know, you're going to have a lot of good time before you get to him. But this card of the Fool says you may be thinking you're making a foolish mistake, but that's when your true adventure will really begin. All right? I'm going to turn this over to Miss Michael.
Okay. So I was looking into my pyrite crystal while Evan Lionheart was reading your summary, and I saw a lion, and then a crab, and then a woman bathing, with a bird singing and sitting on the edge of her tub, the very edge of her tub. So I have a feeling. I think this kind of harmonizes with Miss Cat's reading. I see three men represented by animals. One powerful, capable of working great change, and that's going to be a fun ride. One, a crab, which is kind of grabby and acquisitive. And the third, just a lovely little songbird who just wants to hang around and make your days pleasant. And of course you're going to support him, or at least take good care of him, because, you know, he's the next best thing to a kitty cat. And I also pulled the scripture, 1 Kings 9:1, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished building of the house of the Lord, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do. So I don't see any misery in this adventure. You're going to enjoy just about all of it.
That's what is that verse you said? What is that verse of the Bible you said?
1 Kings 9:1.
1 Kings 9:1. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. This says to me that there's going to be you're going to get what you want, but you're also going to get more than what you wanted. It almost has, to put it in kind of pop culture terms, it almost has a little bit of the screwball comedy plot about it. You know, you will end up with the right person in the end. And it's going to be much better than you thought. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you when it happens, because you're going to be a very, very happy lady. All right. Well, let's turn this over to Conjurman Ollie, and he's going to give you some screwball comedy root work.
Okay.
I just want to say that you've had some fantastic readings. Interestingly enough, I was following along with my own reading. I did Cast It a Horror, and I just want to say Miss Cat was so on the money when she said one is going to be rich, but one is going to, because it came up that your love life was divided up between Capricorn and the fifth house. Fifth house is sex. So there's going to be one person that's going to be really generous and one person that you're going to have a much more physical chemistry with there. So bear that in mind. And then timing-wise, end of November and beginning of December is going to be peak for you. So what I want to do is give you root work around that to help to kind of manifest this, to bring you the ideal person. Maybe you won't end up with a person that is 100%, you know, wealthy and the way that you examine them, but hopefully you'll be with someone who's generous with you, who's able to give you what you're looking for. And so this is what we do with root work, so that we can manifest our desires, even if the cards don't give us exactly what we're looking for. So first and foremost, what I want to do is combine your two elements, working with that Aquarius and the Taurus, to give you root work that'll resonate. You're going to start by creating a specialized perfume for yourself. Get your favorite brand of perfume, the one that you wear all the time, the one that you want associated with you, and add to this. Open up the bottle. You can place it in your own custom bottle, whichever you want. But open it up, and you're going to add a Queen Elizabeth root, a little bit of catnip, and Dixie John. These three are going to be perfect for what you're looking to do. Pray over each, add a little bit in. You don't need to put so much in that you're unable to get your perfume out, but you're going to add it in. It's going to adjust the scent a little bit, and it's going to add some power. Now, set that aside. You're going to be using it in a little bit. Then I want you to get another Queen Elizabeth root, some catnip, licorice, some lovage, Dixie John, rose petals, and Cuba berries, and you're going to assemble this all out on your altar or the table that you're working on. And in the center, you'll have a piece of paper that you are going to write your petition. Be very clear what you desire. I want to be in a happy, romantic relationship with a generous, loving man who satisfies me physically, emotionally, financially. Make it very clear. The key is to be meaningful. I always tell clients the best way to do this is write down the qualities you're looking for, then sleep on it and revise over a period of days, so that you can go from saying something like, he needs to be 6'3" to he's tall, right? You want it to be meaningful. You want it to be significant. You want it to be detailed, but you don't want it to be trivial. So, for example, if you want him to be wealthy, don't write he needs to drive a BMW. Right, that he's wealthy and he's financially stable, right? So make this a meaningful list. You're going to anoint this list, the four corners and the center, with the following oils: Cleo May, Come to Me, and Love Me. You're going to fold it up and place it into a red flannel bag with each one of these herbs that I had listed one by one: Queen Elizabeth root, catnip, licorice, lovage, Dixie John, rose petals, Cuba berries. You're going to pray into this bag, and you're going to knot it 3 times. You're going to smoke it in incense by Cleo May, Come to Me, and Love Me. Smoke it. Feel the mojo bag come alive from the smoke. Awaken from the heat of that incense. And then you're going to spray it with that custom perfume that you made. You will keep this mojo bag on your body wherever you go. It should be close to your skin. So put it in your underwear, your bra, somewhere. Don't just put it in your pocket. It should be close to your skin. Once a week, you will get it out, pray over it, and once more anoint it with the perfume that you have made. that perfume is your custom scent. You should be putting that on your body wherever you go out. It will draw to you your ideal partner. The combination of air magic and earth magic here is going to be the key to drawing this person to you. That's that Aquarius and Taurus connection that we're working with. When you meet the person, I mean, let's say you find a person, you're like, oh, this is the guy, I like him. All you've got to do is spray a little bit of that perfume also on your hand and then touch them when you meet them. Make sure that you rub their arm, oh, you're so funny, or touch their hand so that a little bit of your scent comes off onto them, and this will be a way of really influencing their mind and heart so that they are drawn to you. Work this. I don't sense that you need a lot of intense work. You don't need to rework your destiny in order to find happiness, but a little bit of root work to give this a push in the right direction, to help to draw the right person to you, to give you a little bit of what you're looking for here, will be ideal in manifesting your goals. So this is what I would recommend. We've got time, so I'm going to open this up to Ms. Kat and Ms. Michael to see if they have any adjustments or recommendations of their own.
How about you, Ms. Michael?
I would buy a package of lodestone grits because they're about the size of your little fingernail, and match two of them, male and female, and put them in that bag.
Okay. A pair of matched lodestone grits. That's always a good thing to draw someone to you, to attract someone. So I like that idea. I'm going to say that for me, this is pretty much a very good, basic, solid work. Only thing I would add is I would pray Psalms 45. The wedding psalm, so-called, over the bag while you're making it. That's just me. And, you know, Psalms 45 is to make a man who is both wealthy and sexy come to you. It's sometimes called the wedding of King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. The reason I asked Miss Michael about what was that Bible verse, it was about 1 Kings, it was from about King Solomon. So that's why I recommend Psalms 45. And it's a good psalm to use anytime you are working with such things. Traditionally it is used over, you pray it over olive oil, and you can use the olive oil as a massage oil. There's a recipe in that psalm for what's called oil of gladness, but you don't need to make it as an oil. You could add any of those also to the mojo. The one caution, in English, it says aloes, and people think it means bitter aloes, the succulent that you rub on your burns. It does not mean that. It means aloes wood or agar wood. And so you could add that to your mojo as well if you wanted to. And it's a really a lovely scent of those mixed things. But be careful with the aloes wood. It is an endangered species, so don't buy too much of it. But you can get it online. It also comes in the form of an essential oil called oud, O-U-D, and it's the same thing. It's just different names in different languages. So that's what I would add to it. And I think this is, you're going to be surprised. You came to an interesting point in your life. There's going to be some new things happening in your life. They're really going to be fascinating. You have a lot of potential. And you're going to be very, very, live a very luxurious life. So good luck to you. Call us back if you need any other questions answered, okay? Good luck.
Now it's time to go to our free spell segment with Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com. Take it away, Ms. Michael.
Okay. Let's see, where are my notes here? Okay, now Miss Kat already knows a little. The week of the festival, I think it was. It has two names. Sometimes I call it the Hanoi Hilton. Sometimes I call it the Black Hole of Calcutta. This is a spell to work on unrighteous rulers. You will need a black candle. You will need some printouts of heinous statements from these enemies of the people. One person per page. Petroleum jelly, beeswax, a small animal cage. You can get those on Amazon. The smaller, the better, perhaps. And some sharp broken glass, including mirrors, spiky weed seeds, rusty nails, razor blades, and some nasty hot things like sulfur, insecticidal chalk or pyrethrum powder, or even gopher dust. And here's what you do. You light the black candle and recite Psalm 58, 10, and 11. And if somebody wants to look that up, we can read it in a minute. Combine the sharps with the nasties and divide that into two portions. Spread one portion on the bottom of the cage. Now, you go back to your pages of nasty statements. You smear one page with some petroleum jelly, scrape that off into a saucer, and with the beeswax, you snip it, like Miss Cat said, to make beeswax doll babies. You keep greasing your hands, and you make a little doll baby out of it, like Miss Cat described earlier. Name the doll as you work. Set it in the cage. Repeat for each enemy. But first, you roll the finished doll babies in the rest of the sharp and nasty stuff. You pack the dolls into the cage as full as you can so they can't breathe. And when you're done, take the cage into the backyard and expose it to the elements indefinitely. Let it freeze in the cold, rust and molder in the rain, melt in the sun. And as soon as you put it out, they take a hyssop bath or rub some holy oil on your hands, head, and feet, and heart, and pray Psalm 51.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say something about that beeswax doll. So the beeswax doll, and what she said, her voice dropped out, and I didn't hear it, so I'm going to assume that other people did not either. What she's talking about is taking the charge against them, the names, their nastiness. You rub the petroleum jelly, scrape it off, and then that petroleum jelly is used to soften the beeswax as you make the doll. And, again, if you read Bottle Up and Go or look at the video I made for Bottle Up and Go, you'll see how to cut that doll baby. It's just very simple gingerbread man, cut and fold. And but the petroleum jelly is to model into the wax. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. That is an amazing thing. Doc Murphy says, get it buried in some Minnesota snow. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Winter's coming. That'd be a great start.
Yeah. And the idea of packing these guys in so tight. And what if you say, well, I only dislike one or two deputies, and there's this one politician I'm not very fond of, and so you got three people. No, no, no. Get a cage appropriate and just fill it up. Name every one of them and call out their sins.
Or,
there
or
are
if
so
you misjudged, yes, if you misjudged the size of the cage and you have room in there, fill it up with rocks.
Oh, that would be good. Just fill it up with rocks and press them on down. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So now I think Shiva may be about to print out Psalms 58:10 to 11. We'll see what happens with that. I hope that we get to see that the words, here it is, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeketh the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judges the earth. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. That is very, very good. Now, I've seen a variation of this that was given to me by an old friend a long time ago that was done in a bottle rather than a cage, and it was using animal hearts for each villain, as you might call them, and just packing it full and then filling it with blood. And there you go. That's a different way to do it. But the idea of packing these villainous people in so tight, so hard they cannot get loose. I love the idea of a little mouse trap. You know those little wire mouse traps?
That would
be a good one
too. Live traps.
And a little mouse trap, a little live trap, yeah. Of course, You could also do it if you only have one that you want to do. You can use one of those Victor mouse traps that catches them by the neck, right? You just put it out there in the mouse trap. But I like the idea of the Black Hole of Calcutta. Probably the young ones among us don't know what the Black Hole of Calcutta is. Look it up at Wikipedia. You'll find out all about it.
Something like this. I love this type of working. I would be inclined to leave them exposed to the elements for a period of time, but then to burn them at the end. So something like if you, from new moon to new moon, you know, from full moon to full moon, pick a particular time. You leave them out exposed, and then at the end you build a nice big bonfire and toss the cage into the flames to consume
them. Oh, yeah. That would be nice. I like campfires. I like campfires a lot. If you have a small little cage, you can use a cauldron in Florida water. Back to where we were before. That's a good way to do it. Certainly another possibility, just, you know, there is the throwing them in the river thing. And one of the ways that you can do that is to throw them off a bridge in their cage. Just throw them down into muddy water. Not a clear brook, you know, but a nice old dirty, muddy water. There's places like that all around America because no one's paying attention to keeping the environment clean. So I'm talking like something with pond scum and grrk, you know. I love pond scum for torturing dolls, by the way. Nobody likes pond scum all up in their nostrils, I'll tell you. Nobody likes that.
That has a fantastic way of gunking up that person's life, pond scum does. Everything they do will fall apart. Everything they do will get confused and muddled. They won't know what they're doing. Everything will take on a scent. It'll smell. A phantom smell will totally mess with them.
Yeah. Another place you could put such a thing is if you live in a place where there are large tree stumps. Now, I happen to have a place which has six redwood tree stumps, and you all know how big redwood trees are, and they were cut down probably in the 1870s, and they're still here. These stumps are still here. No one ever pulled them out. You can't hardly pull out a redwood stump. They're dead, but they've hollowed out over the years. Rain has fallen on them, so now they're like the size of a baby's bathtub, and they collect water. Every time it rains, they fill up with water, and then that water gets all, you know, scummy, and then about during the summer it dries out. But that would be a nice place to put a little mousetrap. It would fit, and you would just keep it in there, and if you wanted to keep on watering it, you could. Some people take these stumps, and they will put potting soil in them and plant plants in them and use them as sort of natural planters. I've done that, too. So you could put it underneath that and bury it, put dirt on it, and then put some kind of noxious, you know, toxic plant on top, like poison ivy, I don't know, whatever you want to do. All right. Well, we missed our network schedule announcement. It's not here. And so we're just going to pass it by with a wave. Bye-bye, network schedule announcement. We'll catch you again next week. And we'll turn this over to Evan.
We will definitely catch this next week. Thank you so much, Miss Kat, and thank you, Conjurman. And thank you, Miss Michael of Hoodoo Foundry in Willits, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Miss Robin of robinsmojo.com in Northern California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and ConjureMan at ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Evan Lionheart, joining you from readingsbyevan.com in New Jersey. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band Waltz playing the jug. Memphis Jug Band playing the jug band waltz. Excuse me. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Evan. I want to give a quick shout out to all the people in the chat room. And we got, of course, Cousin Joshua, Covet Gift 2, Doc Murphy, Dr. Sweets, Justin Sanders, and Tony I, and Signe DC. And I think there were a few others there already. Oh, Angela L. And so thank you all for coming out for the show. Anybody else listening in the archive, you too can listen live and join us in the chat room. All you have to do is pay attention to the announcements, which come on the Facebook pages of the Lucky Mojo, Lucky Mojo Curio Company, or my Facebook page, or some of the other lovely Facebook pages you all know and love. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.